Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Is it fine in our picks to just go with one of Sam's picks? Is that like just not trying, or is that what we should do?
Well, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with and against. I mean, if you want to,
He says, I think Alabama.
Yeah, you want to fact check me? I had Alabama written down when I got here.
I believe you, but you wouldn't maybe just take Alabama because he said it. That's kind of what I'm wrestling with. Like, what do I know?
He's in there every day. I might. I can't tell you that I haven't done that. He's been with us now for, is this his third year?
This is his 11th year.
Second year now being with us on Fridays. I feel like I've done that a time or two.
Okay.
I had a pick I liked, and then he said something, and I'm like, okay.
I mean, he has a friend who's betting $20,000 on Penn State if the line moves from 3.5 to 3. Who am I? Right. Oh, Central Michigan. Right. What do I know? What I do know is that I met Theo Greminger one time. And it was on Long Island, and Theo was so kind. He brought bagels for me and my family as a gesture of kindness. And either Theo told me or someone else, as I was watching my son play lacrosse in Farmingdale, I think, he's like, you know what's behind those trees? And I said, no. He said, Bethpage.
I remember this story, bagels and all.
Yes. Theo, it's not exactly right around the corner for you, I think, but I'm thinking of you this weekend seeing Bethpage, even though that weekend I was there, I didn't actually go there. Close.
Yeah, you were very, very close to there, and I had to send you back to Western New York with some good bagels. So we hooked you up. We've actually connected in Vegas as well.
Yes, that's right.
This is multiple times here. Always a pleasure for sure, and happy to chop it up with you guys today.
Thank you. That's right. In Vegas, where I haven't been for a couple of years. I was also thinking, like, you and I were texting last night, and I was big on Marvin Harrison Jr. last night. I thought he was an example of a guy where the team would want to make a point to get him the ball. I mean, that really didn't happen. It took a while in the game, but I was into starting him.
They did throw the first play.
First pass
was right. Complete to him. Yeah.
Right, and then he went away for 2 hours.
Yeah, he was bad.
Yeah, like that's...
He's had two screen passes this year, and it was... The first offensive play of the game for Arizona was a screen pass to Harrison. They had zero screen passes to him at any point last season. So two is actually a big win usage wise with four games played. It was the roller coaster, and it's been a roller coaster with Harrison Jr. Throughout his career. It's almost an even split now with games with fewer than 8 points scored PPR wise, and games with 15 points or more. There's literally like no middle of the road production where Harrison Jr. just shows up and scores like 11 or 12 points, and you're like, okay, yeah. He got me through this week. It's either he has a big impactful game or a complete fantasy disaster dud. It's really kind of mind-boggling. But yeah, they definitely tried to get him the ball last night. It was an awful performance in the first half, and then you got bailed out by the touchdown. As did I, Mike, because we used him. Dan Williamson and I used him in our big payback, big FFPC league team, and we almost benched him, but we started him, and it was sort of like pulling your hair out until the touchdown.
Bulldog has him, too.
I had him, too. I rode with it. Yeah, it's not exactly a fantasy question, Theo, but do you have a – there's a lot of, you know, conversation around him with the way last night looked for the front end of the game. Like, what do you think is going on there?
I think it's a terrible fit in that offense for him. Last year there was pretty ridiculous usage. I talked about the design targets, and I work at Fantasy Points, and we have Fantasy Points data, which is – I think the best source of analytics and statistical information anywhere in fantasy. And we track things like pretty much targets per route run, target share, air yard share. There were certain metrics that Arizona did pretty well with Harrison, but it was those easy button targets that you see for a lot of these wide receiver one types where they're high percentage passes to get the player going, maybe lining him up in advantageous situations. Arizona was really thinking anything but that. Mike, the term is sacrificial X, basically a guy who's running a lot of cardio.
Yep.
Harrison Jr. last year, to not have a single screen pass for a guy that used that sort of draft capital for is sort of mind-boggling. And to have a sort of limited usage for him after investing that level of draft pick for him, I don't think any other team in football would have done it. Then you get into the whole... Kyler Murray likes targeting his tight ends. Trey McBride has been this massive winner for the last few years with Murray, whereas the wide receiver position, DeAndre Hopkins was really, really good with Kyler, but Harrison Jr. just doesn't seem to have clicked. So I think it's a little bit of the usage in Arizona. I think it's also a little bit of we put this massive, massive expectations on him. He was the highest drafted wide receiver of all time by fantasy managers in redraft leagues. He was like a 1-2 turn pick. You had to use like the 12th, 13th type pick in a big FFPC, NFFC league. So he's basically a first round pick at the unheard of levels and a massive disappointment. He also was in a draft class where there's been so many wide receivers that have been massive, massive hits. Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey, Roma Dunze is now a big breakout this year.
Thomas.
Ricky Purcell is breaking out this year. It's just Marvin Harrison Jr., it's kind of a sporadic guy that is a boom-bust player in fantasy. And, hey, maybe he'll get it together throughout the rest of the year. We certainly do have two good weeks out of four, which is not the worst hit rate, but it's definitely not what we paid for.
Brian Thomas Jr. is breaking in. This year, he was an amazing rookie, and then this year, it's been going the other way.
That's another one.
I guess it was Freudian, Mike, but BTJ is a really, really weird one. But with BTJ, I guess we're a little less concerned because we've actually seen it happen, where last year he was just unbelievable, and I believe it was simply a result of him playing with Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones is some huge elevator of wide receiver one talent. Like, BTJ looked like a next-level player last year. With BTJ, I wonder about the wrist, where he looks a little more tentative.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of times where people have broken this down on film, where BTJ looks like maybe he avoids contact a little bit more often than we saw last year. I'm buying into that a little bit. I'm also buying into it's a new offensive situation in Jacksonville. And also, Trevor Lawrence has not been a guy who's really elevated a wide receiver throughout his entire career. We saw that Christian Kirk season where Kirk was like the wide receiver 12 in counting stats, but probably about a mid-level wide receiver 2 in overall stats. And then the following season, Calvin Ridley was like a mid-level wide receiver 2. Really, the only player we could say Trevor Lawrence really elevated was Evan Engram at the tight end position, where he had that crazy usage year where he had one of the highest targeted seasons of all time at the tight end position, and Lawrence just sort of banked in on him. And they put him in the slot. So I don't know. It's kind of an ugly scene for Brian Thomas Jr. managers for sure right now. I podcast with Dwayne McFarland, who I know you know as well, Mike. Really, really smart guy. He was on Dynasty Life with me this week. That show should have dropped today, if not tomorrow. And he's not that concerned with BTJ. He has him projected to finish as the wide receiver 13, which is not what you paid for, but not a disaster. So he thinks he'll kind of turn things around. And we did see a 12-target week in week 2. I don't feel great about things, but I don't think it'll be a complete disaster if we go back and talk about it maybe 5 weeks from now.
Theo Greminger with us on the Wester Hotline, Fantasy Points. You can also hear Theo, who's really all over the space, on the School of Scott podcast with Scott Barrett all the time. Matthew Golden, Green Bay, at Dallas, which has been terrible defensively so far, but also still even without CeeDee Lamb, might be a team that can keep up and make for a shootout this or most weeks. Is it, since we're talking about young receivers, here's Golden, a rookie, are we ready for him to pop? What does the usage look like?
Yeah, I think for Golden, I think this is the week, and you nailed it. It's the matchup where we're starting wide receivers against the Dallas Cowboys. We're also starting quarterbacks against the Dallas Cowboys. We saw the massive Russell Wilson game where Malik Nabers was truly dominant, but also Wandale Robinson had his like career-high performance. We saw it last week where Rome Odunze caught a touchdown, but we also had the flea flicker touchdown for Luther Burden, and Caleb Williams had his best performance as a pro with four passing touchdowns. I think it's a Jordan Love a week. I think it's a Matthew Golden week. I think that's just sort of what the Dallas defense gives you. And Green Bay is going to be a little pass happier than usual. Also, you've got Green Bay coming off of a loss, which you don't necessarily always see this, but it seems like they're a team with Super Bowl aspirations, and I think they might come out there and really try to put a number on the Cowboys, sort of get things right. Golden last week finishes with four catches. I believe it was 52 yards. So that's not like that impressive, but it's been an uptick. In week two for Golden, it could have been two touchdown catches in week two. Week two, Jordan Love missed him in the end zone, and I think if you give Jordan Love that playback, he hits him for a touchdown maybe 8 out of 10 times. It was a clear touchdown. It was just a poor pass by Love, and Love really wasn't bad in that game at all. Then there was another where they were backed up to like their own 10, and Golden had an opportunity to get loose for maybe a 90-yard touchdown, but at least a really long reception. And Love missed him on that one. So week three was a step forward. The play that stands out for Golden, and Golden has addressed this one, he sort of misjudged the defensive back on one deep reception near the sideline, and he ended up having momentum take him out of bounds, where he's even said he regrets the way that play worked out because there was so much space in front of him where that 50 receiving yards week could have been like an 85, 90-yard week because he had so much room in front of him for a long one. So I think Golden is going to break out. I think this week is probably the best bet for it. I think if you're looking for a wide receiver three or a flex play, I think Golden's a really, really fun one. I'm going to be using him in a couple of lineups this week, and I'm pretty excited about it.
While we're on that game, how about Pickens with CeeDee Lamb out?
So that's the interesting one because I think Dak is a sit. Because of the quality of that Green Bay defense. But I think that the targets are going to be so consolidated between Ferguson and Pickens that you can use them both. I think that maybe the ceiling for Pickens is not going to be quite as high as we would see in a usual Dallas game without CeeDee Lamb. But I do think if we look back at what Pickens was able to do in Pittsburgh in terms of a target share, air yard share, first read rate, we've seen teams sort of gravitate to him when he's like the alpha in town. And I think they're going to have to try to connect with Pickens a few times. It'll be interesting to see if they increase the creativity with him and maybe his usage changes a little bit. A lot of what they've done with him so far has been what you'd expect with CeeDee Lamb also in the lineup. Pickens playing outside, them taking deep shots to Pickens, lots of air yards there. But I think you'll see Pickens trend up a little bit. And Ferguson is just in a tremendous position because Dak trusts a great deal. He's going to be one of the highest targeted tight ends for as long as Lamb is out. And they paid Ferguson all this money. So Ferguson's been a guy where you've sort of taken him when you get stuck at tight end. I know Mike and I both play a lot of tight end premium and FFPC, and you're never like thrilled to draft Ferguson. But it seems like this could end up being his career year just based on the early usage. And the team showed that they have a great deal of confidence in him by giving him that big contract and not signing Micah Parsons, but they did get Jake Ferguson locked down.
13 catches last week. Theo and I are in two pretty high stakes leagues together. Right now, we're both in playoff spots in each, but I'm always chasing Theo. So just to be sort of around Theo in these leagues feels pretty good. Don't need you to pontificate or elaborate here necessarily, but did see that Jonnu Smith is questionable Sunday morning for Pittsburgh, which could open up Freiermuth. I mean, I don't know what the ceiling looks like, but, you know, they're kind of both in each other's way. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's hard to necessarily trust a lot of players in the Pittsburgh passing game. The one that I'm keeping an eye on is the Jalen Warren.
Yeah.
Where Jalen Warren, Mike, you can't even pick up Kenneth Gainwell if he's available to you in an FFPC league right now because the waiver is clear at 10 in the morning on Sunday, and the game had started by then. So
yeah, that's right.
If Warren misses, that offense could look different. The Johnny one, certainly, I think Freiermuth, I know we've talked about this sort of behind the scenes about how there were some smart people on Pat Freiermuth this offseason. Yeah, potentially Muth could be a dark throw type tight end to use this week. I think Cade Otton is interesting if you're really, really struggling at tight end. I know he's available in a number of leagues. Dwayne was pretty high on him. There's just been some pretty good splits for Otton in weeks where Mike Evans didn't play. Last year we saw that Otton have like that stretch of games where he has a familiarity with Baker Mayfield. It's an offense we know is going to pass the ball. They're playing Philly. You have to expect that there's going to be some pressure put on them to keep up with the Eagles and vice versa. So that game flow could go pretty well. And then, hey, if you want to just go with kind of a hot hand and bet on a guy potentially breaking out, this Aronde Gadsden scheme seems to kind of be real in L.A. right now. They're saying a lot of very nice things about the rookie, and his targets per route run were wild. I think he was targeted 7 times on like 15 routes run. So that's a pretty high number, and it shows Justin Herbert really enjoys passing to him.
Gadsden out of Syracuse, son of the former NFLer. And one thing that, especially on the School of Scott podcast with Theo and Scott Barrett, they pay a lot of attention to coach clips and what are they saying. And then, you know, these guys are guys who know how to interpret it. Is this meaningful? Is this just coach speak? Whatever it is, from Theo and Scott. Just a few minutes left here, Theo. The Bills so far. James Cook, I mean, that just keeps happening. Did the fantasy world largely get it wrong again on Cook?
Yes. I think that James Cook, anytime you fade him, he's sort of made you pay for it.
Yep.
It was the second touchdown against the Jets, which was sort of a, okay, we screwed up moment for a lot of fantasy analysts out there. You don't have to necessarily try to understand James Cook. Certain things metric-wise are not going to line up like fantasy analysts would like, but James Cook has just been awesome. He continues being awesome. I don't think he'll finish as the RB1 overall, but I think he could be on a pathway to outscore what he did last year. And, Mike, it's actually remarkable to think that he might be a running back one for 3 seasons in a row. You start looking at historical Buffalo Bills running backs and the level of production James Cook has had for 2.5 years. I mean, he's way, way, way up there in terms of like your all-time great running backs in the organization. So Bills paid him the money, and he looks unbelievable right now. And he's really the most bankable asset on the team, where it seems like there's going to be some cannibalization with the wide receivers. I know Shakir scored the touchdown last week. I have Shakir on some teams. I'm never like that thrilled about using him. Last week it was sort of a, hey, that's great, he scored a touchdown. Coleman flashed early. It's been sort of disappointing since. Kincaid's looked pretty good at times too. But it's James Cook. It's Josh Allen. You're thrilled if you have either one of those guys in your fantasy team right now.
You know, Theo, we spent a lot of time in the summer debating the merits of a contract extension for Cook, and his usage was a big part of the conversation. He had 71% of the carries in the Miami game. So that I think that's something to watch. I'm not expecting the Bills to keep using him that heavily. I don't think his body type really calls for that, and I think they'd want to be careful about making sure they keep him healthy and fresh. But if that ticks up or even keeps going in that direction, you know, that could really add some value, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're committed to using him in creative ways, getting the ball in his hands. I wish they would pass to him a little bit more. That's sort of the one thing that bothers me, where if they just ever sort of phased Ty Johnson out a little bit and gave those targets to Cook. I think that would be great. Like the other problem with the Bills is you guys are rarely trailing. So we don't necessarily get a chance to see James Cook in like a hurry-up offense where the Bills are down two touchdowns. So it's sort of a champagne problem for the Bills to have. But fantasy managers, I guess we're sort of splitting hairs on that. Like on the flip side, the 49ers are certainly not any sort of a perfect team. Christian McCaffrey, the usage is unbelievable. Like McCaffrey's probably the bet to be the RB1 right now. Bijan's certainly going to get situations where Atlanta's trailing. We saw it last week for a while. And then Jonathan Taylor is just a force of nature. But after those guys, and certainly Jahmyr Gibbs, I think James Cook is right in the mix for like a top six finisher at the running back position. So nice. Wheels up. Oh, and of course, Devon Achane is going to catch a ton of passes on that team, which is an absolute disaster in Miami.
Theo, 1 minute. I brought up Harrison thinking like he was an interesting dilemma as a start-sit option for this week, and we talked about him, but that game is in the bank now. Olave in the Buffalo game. What is this 10 catches for 57 yards from Chris Olave? What is he? I mean, is he a tight end now? Like what happened in that game? And just again, if you can quickly, is he safe? A safe start.
He wrote about him in the market report, which came out just today at Fantasy Points, and I have him as like sort of a dynasty winner this year. All of the metrics are fantastic for Olave. And it's sort of a if you build it, they will come type mentality, where if you're going to target your wide receiver one at this sort of rate, then eventually he's going to have a big-time game. And, Mike, he's getting 29.4% target share to go with a 35.7% air yard share. And there we talked about those design targets, 13.9% design target rate. So they're getting him the ball around the line of scrimmage, easy button targets. He's limited by the offense. But he leads the NFL in targets right now. You have to play him in fantasy. And he's got a really strong floor. So he's not going to lose your week for you. I do think a couple of boom weeks could come for him. Kellen Moore is doing about as good a job as you can fantasy-wise for a really cool team. Juwan Johnson, number two in tight end targets. Chris Olave, number one in wide receiver targets. We cannot ask for anything more from Kellen Moore.
Sounds good to me. Theo, thank you on short notice. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon. See ya.
You too. Theo Greminger, Fantasy Points, School of Scott podcast, and a simple search of his name can bring up a lot else because he's all over it. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Football Friday. We'll look for your calls after the break. 803-0550 is the number. Right now, it's time for us to take a minute. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I think he realizes how much confidence we have in him. I think he's playing a lot of good ball. And, you know, it's frustrating because Spence hasn't been able to get a win in this league, and he's earned it and he deserves it. He's done so much good. And so, we got to all rally together, focus on our individual task, and we'll get that thing done sooner rather than later.
New Orleans coach Kellen Moore, Spencer Rattler, who has started 9 NFL games and is 0-9. He gets Josh Allen in the Bills this week. Good luck. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Football Friday on WGR, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. We're talking about the Ryder Cup during the break, largely. Scottie Scheffler, maybe another American top player in the world who just maybe can't sort of get with the vibes of the Ryder Cup.
Right. I'm, you know, doing some pretty amateur psychological analysis here, but like the way he talked during this past season about, I don't want to too heavily slant the conversation one way to make the point, but like, you know, this doesn't mean that much to me. You know, like I'm great, I'm winning, but you know, I get off the golf course and I go home and like that's it. It's not like yay, I'm great. It seems like more like a job, I think, to him, the way he comes off talking about it. And I think if you sort of take that in a certain direction, you look at an event like this where it's so emotional and you've got guys almost to the point of being awkward, celebrating and just really being, you know, fired up and trying to get the crowd going. And like, that's not him. I don't think, and you don't see him really do that at all. Like he's just sort of playing. And I wonder if this event is just a real mental struggle for him because of how he prioritizes everything. Like he's not going to pour extra into this, I don't think. At least not outwardly and emotionally, to put on a show for everyone. And that might leave a guy feeling awkward about the whole scene, you know, because everyone is so excited and they're chanting and all this stuff, and you're just trying to play golf. So I wonder if the whole fit is just weird. I mean, he's the best player in the world, and his approach seems at odds with a lot of what this event is about.
He might be the best player in the world, but he's the worst player in his foursome today. Like, it's just, nothing is really happening there. You know, Tiger was maybe a little bit different than that, also playing this amateur role. I just feel like Tiger was trained to kill you. He was like a trained killer. And, oh, now I'm Fred Funk's partner. I want to murder Fred Funk.
Right.
Like, how am I supposed to make that
I'm supposed
work?
To help him line up putts? What?
And they tried everything with Tiger. They put him with Mickelson.
Yeah.
Let's try that. They put him with rookies. They put him with everybody. And it rarely really clicked. Like, you rarely got, at the Ryder Cup, his best stuff.
Yeah. It is different because intensity and it being, like, to me, he was almost the opposite of what I just described. Scheffler talking about these events he wins, because Tiger, I don't remember him ever getting deep, you know, psychologically the way Scheffler has been asked to or volunteered to do this year. But Tiger, it looked like it meant everything, every ounce of his being was wrapped up in his golf career and winning majors. And, you know, so coming at it from a different angle, that being like an individual intensity is hard to share with a teammate, and that maybe was his stumbling block in this event. Scheffler is different because I don't think he comes off as intense at all as Tiger. He's excellent. He's won a ton, and he's the best player right now, but it doesn't – he basically said himself, it's not the most important thing in the world to me. Whereas I don't think you ever caught Tiger saying anything he was doing competitively wasn't the most important thing in that moment to him.
Yep.
So
I agree with that.
They're different, but maybe, you know, it's still the same sort of team problem. Like Scheffler, if he's supposed to be the leader of the team because he's the best guy, you know, it's like maybe putting the C on the wrong guy. Like, our best player isn't our best leader, is maybe what mm-hmm. you've got with Scheffler.
Mm-hmm. That's certainly how it looks today. I've been watching it all day. I fell asleep in the middle of the morning session, but I was up at 6, turned on, I told you, the Peacock pregame show, and I'm always here for the Ryder Cup. I love it. I think even from a golf standpoint, this might not apply to Scheffler or anyone else in particular, but, you know, you play a lot. I used to play a lot. When you're playing your own ball, and you have a 20-foot birdie putt, it's a 20-foot birdie putt. You know how to process that. You'd like to make it. You don't want to run it 8 feet by. You know, you're sort of, depending on how long your putt is, you're sort of maybe subconsciously thinking about, well,
just get it close and I'll have a par.
Lag it, whatever it is, right.
Yeah.
But now you're playing in this and your partner's already in for par And like, oh, well. And they always, the commentators pretty much tell you this every time. Like, don't leave it short. I mean, if you're, you have right. a birdie putt and your team is already in for par.
Take a run at it.
It's right. a different putt.
Yep.
Right? Because yep. you wouldn't putt normally like that. Only in these situations when it doesn't matter if you miss by how much you miss by. Right? So
mm-hmm.
I think that also, the golf is affected
yep.
by some of these situations.
That's right. That is different. Even if you're, you know, it's different if you... I've been playing on Saturdays at a different place lately, and that's often a match type situation. And yeah, it's different. Like if I'm paired up with my son, and I know he's got an easy putt for par, yeah, I'm gonna play. It loosens you up in a way, and just you can just play differently.
Right. Well, it's one thing that's really interesting and fun about this event. Brian Koziol will join us at 6 from Bethpage. Email update.
Are you still at an even thousand?
$9.99.
Well, what happened? You want me to send you something?
It's been a week, right? That's funny. Yeah, so I can delete it immediately. I've gotten in front of it. I don't want it to go over 1,000. So I've got right now 999 unread emails in the inbox. You probably have zero.
That's exactly what I have.
You always have zero. And... you know, like weekends, especially when I'm not working post-game, weekends go by and then I get around to it on Monday and there's like 200 new ones.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to get in front of it. So now that 1,000, that threshold is sitting there and I'm just choosing to take it, you know, seriously and limit it.
It definitely sounds like you have maybe never done the I'm going to go to work, I'm going to go on an unsubscribe bender. No, because if you're getting 200 emails over a weekend, like I don't get anywhere near that anymore. Because every few months I will, this shouldn't surprise you, if I'm a person who immediately looks at email and goes, delete, I know I don't want this or need this. I don't want to tell you how the dishwasher hat, thing I can put a hat in to watch. I don't want to write to Amazon and tell them how that is going.
You got that? By
like,
the way?
I got that. It didn't work.
Didn't work.
It didn't work. My white hat did not get any whiter than it was when I put it in there, which is very disappointing. It could have been some operator error. I don't know. Anyway, like I just delete that stuff right away. But I also, you know, over time, you just start getting, you know, different stuff you order. It's like, okay, all right, I don't really need updates on every band I've seen in concert the last 3 years on their merch. Like, I'm good right now. Unsubscribe. And that limits the amount of crap you get, too, obviously. So,
or it just
like maybe you haven't done that in a while.
No, I never do that.
Yeah.
Or the spam folder. But you're right. The sum total of time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Time spent on deleting these emails is way greater by now than it would be if I just threw them into the spam folder or unsubscribed to any of these things.
Yeah.
I get 10 or maybe 20. I don't even know how many. Emails from, I just know it's an immediate delete. I don't even look at it.
Our work email now has made the unsubscribe a lot easier. Most of the emails I get through the work email have, like, it's company generated, I think, like unsubscribe at the top, and you just click that and you're done. As opposed to like this labyrinth you sometimes fall into where they take you to a browser page, ask you why you're leaving, are you sure? Like, oh my God, I don't want to have to click this 6 times. I just don't want to get email from the car wash place anymore. I'm good right now.
Yeah.
The work email has streamlined that somehow. I think they put a mechanism in place that allows you to just get out just by clicking that one button that they have sent you, which I find very helpful.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Try it out.
If I ever remember your saying that when I'm negotiating, like every time I log into one of my two or three betting apps, I get an email telling me I've done it. Do you get that?
Yes.
And you don't unsubscribe to those. You just sort of.
No, I just live with that because, yeah. Yeah.
Do you need that?
No.
Why do they have to tell you that?
No, I don't know.
To make sure? Is it one of these quasi-security methods so that, like, you are, your email is telling you, oh, well, maybe that wasn't me?
Right. I think I've never actually read one of those, but I'll bet it says somewhere, if this wasn't you, contact us. Right. So that makes sense.
I was on these apps last night frequently because I hit a couple. Had the under, had Barner to score. Like, I hit a couple. So I, you know, vainly I'm checking my balance, you know, and maybe I'll do something else, right? Like, you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm on there a few times, but, like, twice in the course of the day, I had to get the 6-digit code.
Oh.
Like, come on, are we friends?
Yeah, right.
Don't you know it's me? Like, really?
Yeah.
I've said my computer is my computer. You can trust this device. Still not good enough sometimes. Sal Capaccio coming up at 5. We'll talk about the Bills not having Oliver or Milano again on defense for this game, what it might mean, and more on the Bills matchup with New Orleans here coming up on Sunday, which, of course, you can hear on WGR. Bulldog and I will be on after the game for the on the postgame show. And Brian at 6 from Bethpage. We'll wedge picks in between because Brian doesn't need to sit on hold while we do picks. Let's actually ask about what it's like to be at Bethpage today.
I agree with that.
Let's not do that to Brian.
Good point.
803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.